I'm super excited to talk to you today. In fact, I was telling Liz before I got up here, I'm about 70% excited, 30% nervous, maybe 60-40, but a little better than the last time. So I've been praying for you guys this week, and I think God has something that he wants to say to you. So show of hands, how many of you have kids? All right, keep them up. How many of you had some input in the naming of your kids? Okay, all the men can put them down. I'm just kidding. All right, when you were looking into naming your kids, how many of you spent some time with a baby name book or online trying to figure out the meanings of those names before you named your kids? Okay, or if you don't have kids, how many of you know what your own name means? All right, so as you may know, Alan and I have four kids. And they all four, their names all four start with the letter C. Cassidy, Callista, Christian, Clayton. And we did this because we were young at the time and we did not realize how early onset dementia would affect remembering all these names, right? So I can't tell you the number of times we call these kids by the wrong names, or even better, by some combination of their various names. I've got two favorites for you. So, Clarician works very effectively for both boys at the same time, okay? And Callicity, both girls. It's a real time saver. You all should try it. Your kids will love it, I promise. But even though naming all of our kids with C names might not have been the smartest thing we've ever done, we did put some effort into naming our kids, or at least I did. Alan mainly pointed out which names would get our kids beat up on the playground, which was helpful, I admit. So Cassidy's name means clever or ingenious. Callista means most beautiful one. Christian, Jesus follower. And Clayton means built on a firm foundation. So I've done some research, and some of you guys should have looked into the names of your kids before you named them, okay? And I'm not going to call anybody out this morning, but it's as easy as Google, all right? You had one job. So here's a list of some names that you should not name your children if you love them, okay? Brendan, not Brandon. Brandon's safe. Brendan means stinky hair. Gideon, having a stump for a hand. Seth, evil god of chaos. Cassandra, she who is ignored. That's a great idea. Cecilia means blind. Tristan means sad. Mallory means unlucky. Claudia means lame. And for all those Gilmore Girls fans out there, Lorelai means she whose singing lures men to destruction. So, all things considered, maybe we didn't do such a terrible job naming our kids. We definitely could have done worse. But did you realize that names are important to God? We see so many stories in the Bible of God renaming people, like when they've undergone some kind of important transformation, or he's called them to do something great. It's like he says, listen, I know your parents named you Stinky Hair, but I have something else in mind. So Abram becomes Abraham, father of nations. Sarai becomes Sarah, princess. Jacob becomes Israel, he who has the power of God. And Simon becomes Peter, rock. And the cool thing about these renaming stories in the Bible is when we hear these new names, we're only given the meanings for the new names. They don't give us the meanings for those old names. It's almost like those old names are 100% in the past. They don't even exist anymore. The only thing that matters now is that new name that God names people and that meaning. And God gave naming power to the first man, Adam, in the beginning after he'd made all the animals. Genesis 2:19 says, he brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. I love this. I just imagine God sitting there with his popcorn, watching it all go down, and I see some looks of confusion. You guys know God eats popcorn, right? I mean, it's definitive. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. God eats popcorn. Now that we've cleared that up. So God is just sitting there watching this go down like, man, this is going to be interesting. I cannot wait to see what happens. And the naming begins. Screaming Hairy Armadillo. Good job, Adam. Good job. Sparkle Muffin. Very creative. Spiny Lumpsucker. I see what you did there. Not bad. Mountain Chicken. Adam, we need to talk. And when God makes woman to complete and sustain Adam, she gets her name from Adam as well. He exclaims, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of a man." So he names her based on what he knows to be true about her. But why do you think God lets Adam do all this naming? Well, don't look at me, I don't know. But I do think we get a clue from Genesis 5, 1 through 2, which says, "When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind," which means Adam or from the earth, when they were created. So he made them in the likeness of God. He made them to be like God. He made them to do the things that he does. So first he created and named us, and then he said, "Okay, now you try." And here we are, still naming things. We name our kids, our pets, our businesses, our churches, even our cars, for crying out loud. We call things how we see them because we're made in God's image. So that's cool and everything, but why talk about this? It's interesting that we're made to be like God. It's interesting that he gives us the power to name things as we see them, but why talk about it? Finish this statement for me. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me." Right, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Your parents said it to you, or you've said it to your kids, but we've all heard it, right? Now, if you insist on continuing this line of reasoning with your children, cover their ears. It's not true. It's not true. You know it's not true because somewhere down the line, somebody called you something that stuck. And now every time you see that person, every time you look in the mirror, every time you do something dumb, you hear that name in your head. And some of those names have stuck so well, you don't even remember where they came from. That's just who you are now. When I was 6 years old, my grandma called me fat. Actually, she told me I was gonna die from being fat. I was six, okay? First grade. And I had just learned something revolutionary at school. I learned, wait for it, this is serious. I learned that smoking kills people. I know, who would have thought? But I saw pictures of healthy lungs and unhealthy lungs in my textbook. And this was the most amazing knowledge I had ever gained in my young life up to that point. And the first thing I wanted to do when I learned that smoking kills people is tell my grandma. I loved her. She was a major player in my life. I spent almost every Friday night at their house. She sang songs to me. We went for walks in the woods. She taught me about plants and birds and Elvis. I was too young to judge her. I just loved her, and I didn't want her to die. So my dad took me over to their house, and I sat down at the kitchen table, and I shared this new information with her. Smoking kills people. Well, without missing a beat, she looked me right in the face and she said, "Well, at least I won't die from being too fat." I mean, I was heartbroken. I didn't see it coming. I just wanted to help. I felt misunderstood and rejected and unloved. And I remember crying so hard My dad took me outside to try and calm me down, and he was like, "Listen, Jamie, don't even worry about it. She's just a crazy old lady." I remember it so clear, and maybe that's true, or maybe she was just having a bad day. I don't know. But it stuck. It stuck so well that when I was a young teenager and I decided that I was indeed fat, I used her words for motivation to lose weight. I had this binder that I kept with all these pictures of the beautiful women I wanted to look like. This was the 90s, so it was like Cindy Crawford and Kate Moss, and I'm not even sure who else. I had charts with the perfect measurements and the weights that if I could just get there, I knew I'd be okay. But I had her words with me all the time. So as I lowered my calories to almost nothing, as I added hour after hour after hour of exercise every single day, I would often rehearse her words in my head, along with others like them. It stuck so well, "You're unlovable." It stuck. It stuck so well that even after I started eating like a normal person, I would get anxious if the scale moved even a little bit. Even when it was normal and expected for the numbers to get bigger, like when I housed 4 giant children for 9 months each inside my body. I mean, if there's ever an excuse for a little weight gain, it's that, right? But it was a constant source of stress for me. It stuck. It stuck so well that when I got thyroid cancer back in 2010 and gained a ton of weight for no reason except to add literal insult to injury, I punished myself with exercise and calorie counting to the point that I physically hurt myself. I just didn't know when to stop. It stuck. And it's not that I haven't forgiven my grandma. I loved her so much, and I had a great relationship with her, and I miss her dearly. Nor am I blaming her for choices that were mine to make. But I share this because the names we are called, the names we call ourselves even, and the names we call each other, they matter. They matter. They harm us or they build us up. Anybody familiar with the author Madeline L'Engle? She wrote the Wrinkle in Time series, one of my favorite book series from when I was a kid. In one of the books, there's this exchange that takes place between Meg, she's kind of a teenage heroine of the books, and this angel named Progo. And Progo is explaining to Meg that he's naming the stars so that peace can exist on Earth. And he says that the enemy of peace is this force that he calls the ekthroi. And ekthroi in Greek actually does mean enemy. And he says this about the enemy: "I think your mythology would call them fallen angels. War and hate are their business, and one of their chief weapons is unnaming, making people not know who they are. If someone knows who he is, really knows, then he doesn't need to hate. That's why we still need namers, because there are places throughout the universe, like your planet Earth. When everyone is really and truly named, then the ekthroi, the enemy, will be vanquished." In December 2011, I got on a plane and headed toward Portland, Oregon, to meet with Marshall and Leslie Snyder. They're the founders of a homeless ministry called Bridgetown, Inc. I went because I was searching. I didn't know what God wanted me to do with my life, so I was researching and experimenting and trying out different gifts, just trying to see where I fit. I'm still researching and experimenting and trying out different gifts, by the way. It's like the song that never ends. But I remember this one thing, this one interaction that took place over coffee. I was sitting across the table from Marshall, and I'm losing my ear thing here, people. Anyway, I can yell really loud. I have 4 kids. Anyway, I was sitting across the table from Marshall. I was talking about discipleship and the importance of community for spiritual growth, and I was getting pretty animated, like I do when I get excited, and he was kind of leaning in like people do when they're interested. And when I was done, we both kind of sat back from the table and looked at each other, And he said, "You are a storyteller." And there was this pause. And it was a weird experience because I really didn't know what he was talking about. A storyteller, what even is that? But at the same time, I understood there was something holy about that moment. I felt like he'd named me, like he told me who I was, or maybe who I would be. I never forgot that. And I've often returned to those words, like when I'm planning a sermon or when I'm writing something, to remember what God said to me about myself that day through Marshall. I wish I'd known the truth about me when I was 6. I wish I'd known the truth about me when I was a teenager. I wish I'd known the truth about me when I was in my 20s or my 30s. If I had known the truth about me, the names that God calls me, maybe I could have dismissed those other names that stuck with me for so long. Here are some of the names that God calls me now. And he calls you these too, by the way. John 15:15. He calls me friend. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. He calls me chosen. Ephesians 2:10, he calls me his workmanship, his art, handmade, purposed, fashioned for good things. 1 Corinthians 6:19, he calls my body a temple and the residence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, he calls me his messenger to the world. Galatians 3:26, he calls me his child. Romans 5:8, he calls me greatly loved. John 8:36, he calls me free. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he calls me brand new. These things that God says about me, these names that he calls me, are true not because I feel them, but because he says them. And if I choose not to believe these names that God calls me, if I choose instead to listen to what the world says about me, it's not because I lack confidence in myself, it's because I lack confidence in God. And it's not enough to hear these names once, because the enemy will come at you with other names louder and more frequently. And if what God says isn't stuck in your heart, those other names will win and you'll live by them. Now, I promise I'm not getting a commission from Jonathan for saying this, okay? But this is why it's so important to develop the habit of reading your Bible on a daily basis, right? It's why it's so important to keep putting the Word of God into your heart so that when you hear all those other voices in your life naming you, you know which ones are God and which ones you can just dismiss. So here's what I want us to do right now. In the back of the seat in front of you, you are going to find a name tag, like the one I've got, and a pen. They're there. Those of you who are in the front, they are in the chair behind you. Those of you who are in the very, very back, there are some in that, on the back row there, right in front of you. Those who are in the balcony. Those who are at home, feel free to get a Sharpie and write on your partner's forehead. I'm just saying, you're gonna have to figure it out. And just real quick, I want you to ask God what name he wants to give you today. It can be one of these on the screen, or it can be something else that God is speaking to you through his word recently. Mine says daughter, by the way. But go ahead, get that name tag, write down that name, stick it on. And I have 4 kids, remember, so I can literally wait here all day. If your neighbor's not complying, you have my permission to make up a name for them, but it has to be nice. Are we good? You need more time? Raise your hand if you need more time. My children are slow. All right. Now I want to guide us through a little prayer exercise. We're just going to spend a couple minutes with God. So close your eyes, get comfortable, take a deep breath. And I want you to tell God silently, "Speak to me, Holy Spirit. You have full reign over my heart. Examine it." And now I want you to ask yourself this: what names have I been called, or what names have I called myself that do not line up with the names God calls me? And as those names start to come to you, kind of rising up out of your heart, I want you to imagine that you're catching them with your hands, holding onto them tightly like you would something of value. And as you hold on to them, just take a moment to look at them and notice that they're untrue. And then just open your hands and release those names to God. And I just want you to keep doing that for a moment as those names come to you. And now that place where those names used to be, that empty spot, because that junk takes up space, I want you to imagine that empty spot filling up with these names: Friend of God, God's masterpiece, chosen, loved, wanted, created with a purpose, God's temple, God's messenger to the world, free, child of God, greatly loved, brand new. Just take a moment to thank God for naming you those good names. Thank him for telling you who you are. And now, eyes still closed, I want you to ask yourself this: what names have I given others that do not line up with the names God calls them? Again, like we did before, just let those names come to your attention. Look at them, notice that they're untrue, and let yourself feel sorry for calling people those names. Just let that happen for a minute. And now silently pray with me. Father, forgive me for calling people names that don't line up with what you say about them. Help me to see others as friend of God, God's masterpiece, chosen, loved, wanted, created with a purpose, God's temple, God's messenger to the world, free, child of God, greatly loved, and brand new. Thank you for forgiving me. Now take just a moment to thank God for his grace and mercy. Father, thank you for naming us good names, and thank you that as people made in your image, we have the power to name each other good names. Help us do that more and more as we learn to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.